everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR, doing a special show around SHRM Leadership's Honey 13. And so I want to get to the guests as quick as we can. So, Paula, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, Brian. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, perfect. And everybody, I'm Brian Wimpton, by the way. Thank you for reminding me, Paula. Paula, so kick it off. Let's just have you introduce yourself, and then from there, we'll get into kind of what makes SHRM Leadership such a great conference.
Well, I'm excited to be at the SHRM Leadership Conference. I'm Paula Harvey. I'm the Southeast MAC rep, so that covers all the states in the South of the United States and Puerto Rico, which is exciting for me because I hope to go there soon. I'm also a HR consultant and have been have my own business in business consulting for the last 10 years. And I'm currently, as I waddle out at the last few months here of a three-year term as the state director of North Carolina.
Well, very, very nice. So you kind of you basically have went the distance and did all the roles And North Carolina has a great reputation. I've met a lot of really good people over the years at SHRM Leadership, you know, from the state or, you know, from the chapter level and part of the state organization. So what does, just for everybody, give a little bit of your perspective because you're heavily involved and have been for a long time. What exactly is the SHRM Leadership Conference all about?
Well, I actually was counting it on my fingers and toes, and this is my 11th one straight, because a few years I wasn't necessarily on the chapter leadership, but I have been the president of two different chapters, the Charlotte chapter, and then helped to be the founder of the Union County chapter in Monroe, North Carolina. And so I've gone as a chapter president a couple times. Then I went as for college relations, and then I went as, let's see, what else did I do? I was on a special expertise panel, and so now for the last 4 years has been because of the directorship, and then this year is for the MAC, and next year will be for the MAC. So it is just a great place to get an opportunity to learn about what it means to be a leader and what things are required of you as a leader in HR, and I will tell you, I think it's probably the most meaningful conference to me, and I've been to many different SHRM conferences, but I find that it is so helpful to kind of, you know, grow me as a leader, and it has really made me a much better leader and a better servant leader over the years.
Well, that is, I think this is probably my fourth, I think, coming up, fourth or fifth, I can't remember, probably my fourth. And I know that I've made some of the most, I think, best contacts I've ever had at SHRM Leadership with the volunteers of chapters that are similar size, that I can compare notes and we have similar stories, we've got similar challenges, we've got similar resources to approach challenges. And I know for me that's definitely the biggest point of aha moment in that there's so much value.
I agree because my first time that I was a chapter president, but what it was is I was the chapter treasurer, and the two vice presidents dropped out, and all of a sudden, guess what? You're president in 2004 and of a large chapter. So that was kind of daunting, and I didn't know what to expect, and my president-elect decided to go with me because she didn't know, because she had also been promoted up from I don't remember what, and we both went, and it was so meaningful for the both of us to go and learn what we needed to do because we really didn't have a roadmap. And so we were able to talk with people from all over the country that had the same size chapter. And then, again, in 2010, or 2009, actually, then I came back as a small chapter president. And that was really different. The dynamics of a small chapter are so different, and there's so many small chapters that was really helpful because it gave me a different perspective on how to grow membership and some things that I wouldn't have done as a president of a large chapter.
Yeah, that's, so kind of switch gears a little bit. So just volunteerism, like in the HR profession, volunteerism, What are the values that kind of the return that you've got in all the years and all the times you said yes and all the times you didn't think you could make it work? What's the value you got out of it, both personally and professionally, in being a volunteer leader?
Well, first thing I always tell people, this is how I got my friends, because to be honest, HR is sometimes a very lonely place, and you really can't be buddies with your coworkers, because you have to have that, what I call a foot back, and just be objective. And so, because sometimes you might have a person who wanted to be your friend sitting across from you, and you might have to be writing them up or terminating them. And so it is kind of lonely in HR. So I found it so useful to join chapters and become friends with the other HR people, just like me, who were going through a lot of the same things. And then as I went up the ranks and got into leadership, then it just made me so much better at being a leader in my own organization where I was working. And I feel that they were always very supportive of me, and that helped me to really become better at getting my seat at the table and taking my seat at the table, because I learned a lot of those things from my CHRM buddies. And those, and like you said, I've had friendships now that are, you know, 20 years old, long from CHRM members, and those are my best friends for sure.
Oh, it's awesome you say that, because – and it's amazing how connected and how much love you feel in the room when you're around people that you've accomplished, you plan things, you've accomplished things. You all are definitely like-minded because you're trying to support the profession, you're trying to advance the profession, you're trying to help people by, you know, being in the workforce and making the workplace better, right?
Absolutely, making a difference in people's lives. And one of the other things that I find with CHRM is that you're appreciated. Sometimes you're not always appreciated in your own workplace, but you're appreciated when you're a volunteer most of the time.
What? Paula, come on now. There's workplaces that everybody's not appreciated. I am shocked.
Oh, yeah, I've been in a few. That's how it goes. But those make great fodder for me as a teacher, so I get to talk about them, so they're always fun.
They do, and what an opportunity, right? I always, they're
absolutely
as interesting as those can be. There's always, you know, you can't have really, really good without really, really bad. It's kind of like,
that's true.
It's kind of,
well,
kind of like happiness.
It's making lemons,
you know,
out of lemonade.
yeah. It's the other. It's just the other side, right? I've heard this so much lately, and it's so true. It's really, really tough to have, you know, happiness if you don't know what the other side of that looks like, because you don't really have a perspective, right? And the same goes with a lot of times with good leadership or bad leadership or what volunteering feels like. Sometimes you got to have experiences that aren't that great to just give you an experience, kind of a benchmark to say, okay, I want to do things differently because I know what this looks like, and I think we can do it different, or I think we can do it better, or I think we should do it the same because it was really good. That's
well,
the thing
I also,
that I think you get out of CHRM leadership, right? This is
absolutely
a great conference for getting, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something. I really feel that the biggest leadership challenges I've ever had in my career have been through CHRM. Several years ago in North Carolina CHRM, we had some issues, and so I had to essentially get my adult pants on and say, you know, we can't put up with this anymore, and unfortunately had our state director stepped down, and I had to step in a year and 3 months early. And so I had to make some tough decisions. I had to talk with CHRM leadership, and they were so supportive. And I had to tell a few folks that, I'm sorry, you know, I know you've been volunteering for a long time, but you are causing issues with other people, and that negativity is not what we want on our state council. And so I just had to say, this has got to stop. So I learned, you know, how to fire volunteers, which I never thought I would be doing, but I learned, you know, that you've got to do things as a leader that is the best for the organization.
It is really, and you bring up such a good point, that I think understanding different styles and different ways and different resources and personalities leadership in a volunteer role is definitely has a different shade and lens, and it is definitely different because motivators are different. You know, everybody tends to do it for a little bit different reason. A lot of us are very similar, you know, that's part of our personalities, or we just want to give back. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, but at the end of the day, the driver's on, are you actually going to be intentional and present in your volunteer duties?
Right.
That tends to have a little bit different makeup to the formula, and it's really, interesting.
Yeah, it can be very frustrating also that sometimes people will volunteer for things. They have great intentions, and they say they really, you know, they want to do this, but maybe you don't realize that you twisted their arm into something that maybe they really didn't want to do, but they were trying to make you happy, and maybe they thought, well, maybe I can do this, but then they realize that, well, you know, I don't have the time, and I've got a lot of things going on in my personal life and business life that I can't do my volunteer life also, and sometimes people have a hard time telling you no, or that it's something that's always been a goal for them, but it doesn't fit for them at that time. And so sometimes you have to be a leader, you have to realize when you've sometimes even set up people up to fail. So you need to step in and say, you know, maybe this isn't the right time for you to be the treasurer, and we need to get someone who has a stronger skill set in doing that, for example. But we appreciate the fact that you were willing to try this, but maybe we'll get someone else to step in. And that is, you know, learning how to do that and when to recognize when you need to do that. I think that's some of the biggest challenges we have in volunteerism in SHRM.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I absolutely couldn't agree with that more. So what are some of your, and we've got about 3 minutes left, so what are some of your best memories from SHRM leadership over the years?
Because I've been a faculty advisor at universities over the years, and by far it has to be with the students. I'm passionate. I'm a professor, and I teach HR. So taking them and letting them compete in HR games and now the case study competitions, and then the last couple of years I've actually been judging, that is just thrilling, talking with these young people. And I've seen so many of them now, and watching them grow and become wonderful HR professionals, and some of them are leading chapters, that I just can't tell you what that feels like to see that legacy going on. And I'm still in touch with a lot of my students, and I remember my first group that I took to in 2001. We went and competed at the Southeast HR Games, and they won the Collegiality Award. And, you know, they didn't do so well with the regular games, but winning that Good Sportsmanship Award, that was probably the most important thing I told these young ladies that they could win, and that I was so proud of them. And we still have that award put up nice, bright and center in my office and at the school.
Well, that is a great best memory for sure. And for everybody out there, you're talking probably 700 to 800 volunteer leaders from the SHRM organization come across from chapters and state councils from the country, come into Washington, D.C., and were there for 2.5 days and are session and keynotes and workshops, and everybody's working to figure out how to up their game and get better at their leadership role and take that back and share that with their committees and build succession and everything. So it's a really, really powerful conference of people that are there just doing it because, you know, it's what they want to do. So, well, Paula, we are out of time. I cannot wait to get to meet you in person. This doesn't happen too often that I get to talk to somebody, and then, you know, we obviously will get a chance to meet in person later, and, you know, when we connect up here very quickly. So, thank you so much for being on, and
you basically have
a very, very safe travel, and everybody, we will talk to you tomorrow.